Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Omega Leadership Series show. Once again this week we are in studio with Lori Beth Jones, best-selling author of several books, and the book leading our discussion this evening is Jesus in Blue Jeans, where we are looking at four of the principles. The book is divided into four sections, and we've been looking at these different sections. Tonight we're going to be focusing on a few principles in the power section. And with us this evening to talk about how Omega Leader leads with power is a powerful leader himself from Olathe, Kansas. We have Steve Sizemore joining the call this evening. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Shelley. Great to be with you.
We were delighted to have Steve on the show. He just finished a few hours ago. I don't even know how long, Steve. You can tell us. Teaching the basics of coaching, right?
Yes. Yeah, we finished a couple hours ago. Did a session tonight.
Yeah. Do you are you finding any Omega leaders in that bunch?
Wow. You better believe it. This group of individuals who are being trained as coaches are just packed with all kinds of leadership skills, abilities, and lots of energy. So it's a fun, fun group to be with.
Wow. How many are in that class this term?
There are nine who are currently going through this coach training, this path coach training.
Wow. Well, besides being a great path coach instructor, Steve has a long history of leadership in the church and in profit and nonprofit sectors. He has recently gone out on his own and is doing some consulting and coaching. Steve, what are you doing right now? What's the latest thing that you're up to?
Well, of course, I do work with Lori Beth Jones Companies, which is one of my favorite things to do. But in addition to that, I am coaching individuals and doing some also some coaching for groups and teams. Along with that, there are a few organizations that I work specifically with in order to provide training, and that training is often, those organizations are focused on equipping young people. I'm talking about people ages 18 to 28 in that category, equipping them for ministry, taking the gospel to the end of the world. And so that's one of my greatest joys and excitement, is to hang out with those young people and just serve them, help them get ready.
Mm. Well, we're excited to have you on the show with Lori Beth this evening. Steve, thank you for joining. And we're going to jump right into tonight's topics are how an Omega leader does pattern interrupts and what it means to have saturation knowledge. Lori Beth, we're going to turn to you for this saturation knowledge stuff that's you're going to teach us this evening. So I'm going to hand this off to you to get us going here to talk about pattern interrupt and saturation knowledge.
Thank you, Shelley. You do such a good job of moderating. He did a pattern interrupt. This is one of my favorite chapters because I think as a society and as a culture and churches and organizations and teams and families and couples, we get into a groove or a rut. In fact, a rut is just a groove that's gone on too long, where we start doing the same thing over and over and over. And when Jesus came on the scene, he was a major pattern interrupt. No more was God sending prophets. No more was God leaving us to judges. He said, you know what? I'm going to do a pattern interrupt here and represent myself in a whole new way on this planet. And the knowledge of a pattern interrupt is, I'm thinking of the Gary Larson cartoon, which shows a mosquito. There's two mosquitoes on a forearm. And one of them is getting really engorged with blood, and the other one says, pull out, Betty, you've hit an artery. And the mosquito was just doing a normal thing, and suddenly it's lost control of the situation, and its buddy is saying, in essence, doing a pattern interrupt, pull out. And I think that's what friends are for, and that's what coaches are for, and that's what Jesus came to do, is to say, you need to think a new way about your life. And I'm going to interrupt the pattern and show you how to do things in a new way. So, Steve, I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts on the subject. What are you thinking these days about that?
Well, you know, you do quite a bit of work around, you know, the four elements of success, and I appreciate that very much. And using that grid, I'm a water, and I'm thinking about the water, my water personality using the four elements of success grid. I'm thinking, wow, waters are known just to go with the flow. I'm thinking, wow, that's easy for me, is to go with the flow of my personality style. And if, for me, if I'm not careful, I can just continue to follow patterns mindlessly. You know, I don't know if you've seen this very often or not, but I've been lived in different areas that had a mix of the city life and the rural life, and you could see out in the pasture where cows were always going to the pond to get their drink of water the exact same way every time. They'd created this path that seemed to snake its way to the water hole. And I'm thinking, when did that start, and how did they ever get stuck just doing that over and over and over? I'm thinking about my own life and this whole thing of pattern interrupt and this following a path or a continual pattern. One of the reasons why I go with flow or seek the path of least resistance is because it's usually that's what it at least appears to me to be the fastest way. I'm assuming the least resistance is there, so it goes faster for me, or it's more convenient, and there's comfort. And you talked about ruts being extended grooves, and you've also heard people describe that ruts are just graves with the ends knocked out, you know.
I've heard that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, and sometimes patterns, the ones I'm familiar with, the ones I continue with, they do offer comfort. And this may say, I'm not trying to be insensitive here by any means, but another thought popped in my mind when I was thinking about this along the rut concept is that, you know, so do coffins. You notice all the coffins are usually padded, you know. It's like there's comfort even there. It's like you're in a dead end, you know, but there's still, we're still comfortable with this pattern, and we don't even realize we're in a dead end. I know I'm preaching to the choir here. But what you mentioned, you're talking about Jesus as the example, and then also the concept of getting a coach. Often the only way a pattern interrupt can be effectively introduced into my life is usually through someone else coming on the scene. That's usually the most effective way of someone from a different perspective showing up and say, and asking me questions or pointing things out to me.
Right.
And that's extremely important.
You know, what I was going to follow on there, Steve, as you were talking, is from the perspective of a leader, how does a leader, you know, let's say of a business, a team, a church, an educator, a principal, a CEO, you know, how would they create and use pattern interrupts, Lori? How does that happen?
Well, I'm thinking that when you look at the, Steve, thank you for bringing the elements into the discussion. When you look at the elements, as I looked through scripture and working on this change literature that I'm working on for leaders, the opposite element is the one that can most likely do the pattern interrupt. Mm-hmm. So the man lying by the pool, to use the water analogy, had been there for many years. And then Jesus uses fire language and says, get up, take up your pallet and walk. The exact opposite. He throws the exact opposite imagery to this man, and the man walks. So that was a pattern interrupt. But it's interesting because he first established a relationship with him when he said, do you want to be healed? So he approached him with a water approach, getting the agreement, and then, boom, pulled the opposite element in. And in Ezekiel 37, something similar happens where Ezekiel's looking at a valley of dry bones, and they're all disconnected skeletons, basically. And God says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel says, you know, Lord. And then he says, prophesy to the breath. And so the wind speaks to the bones. Wind speaks to earth, does a pattern interrupt, and says, get moving, stand up, don't just, you know, be all scattery around there, come together, get together, and stand up. And they did. So once again, the wind, it was the different element speaking to the opposite element using each other for pattern interrupts.
What if it's the same element? What if your boss is trying to do a pattern interrupt and she's a fire and you're a fire? How's that work?
Yes, I believe you had that situation just recently, Shelley. When fires start engaging, you really need a pattern interrupt. And in the chapter, I talk about a counselor I know that she would have a funny nose and mustache, and when couples started going at each other, she would just make them put on a mask and try, you know, try to carry on an argument when you're looking at someone with a Groucho Marx mask on, you know. So it was just, you know, kids are really good at this. Is you, the father comes in and starts to get mad, and the kid crawls up in his lap, or the mother's starting to get frustrated, and the little boy says, "I love you, Mommy." You know, the kids are really good at pattern interrupt. You just change. It's really shifting the energy. So how can preachers or leaders do that? You have to be aware of the energy that's going on and think, is this the energy, is this the direction I want the energy to go? If not, I'm going to shift it.
Yeah. Have you got an example?
Well, I was just going to add to that just to say that sometimes a healthy thing for us to do as leaders, we often, hopefully, we have a leadership team or some type of a format in which leadership is being expressed. It could be the inner circle or whatever it is. A very intentional thing to do is to invite people who are not normally a part of that team into the meeting, or even invite people to be a part of the process of making a decision or discussing an issue that you know that they disagree with you or come from a different perspective. It's like intentionally inviting something new and different into the norm. And that, if a, that's a healthy thing for a leader to do. Is I know the comfort that's there when you've got the team and you flow together. It's like, hey, it's us. We speak this special language all together, and we can move fast. But I think if we're not careful, we get locked in. And so intentionally inviting, like Lori's saying, a different personality, but also even a different perspective, and invite that into the room and let it see what happens.
Yes, and I think that what happens in our society too is we start listening to the same people, reading the same, you know, talking heads, talking points, and we don't invite positive confrontation around ideas. You know, we get comfortable in our grooves, and then we just repeat our positions louder and louder. So I like your idea, and certainly Doris Kearns Goodwin's book about Lincoln, The Team of Rivals, he seemed to enjoy doing that. I think Clinton was quite comfortable with conflict and inviting opposite personality types and then letting them duke it out. A culture of niceness can really be like a ship that is settling slowly into the sea. You know, it can like the frog in the kettle. Sometimes we don't even realize that we're heading in a direction that's going to be fatal for us,
right,
until someone does a pattern interrupt. That whole notion of intercessions and also interventions is a pattern interrupt, where you tell, you gather the people around, like you said wisely, Steve. You call in a group of people and to surround a loved one and say, you know, this is not working for us. We're concerned about you.
Yeah, it's an interesting piece in this section, and I think it's powerful. And Steve, I'm wondering about this from a coaching perspective. Where that would fit in. I'm quickly scanning the training content on how that would work inside the coaching paradigm. Any ideas?
Well, I think just in the coaching relationship, pattern interrupt is like, it's just going to show up. But in the context of the coach and the client, they're working together just because of the nature of the relationship, and then because of the power of curiosity and listening together. It's just amazing how, because a lot of coaching, there's a whole thing around perspectives coaching, and pattern interrupt is really about a change of perspective often. And so that's a key part of coaching, is like, let's look at this from a different angle. And so that, I think it's a normal thing that happened in a coaching relationship for pattern interrupt to show up in one form or another, which is extremely healthy and actually is one of the powers or benefits of coaching.
Right, and so it, a pattern interrupt isn't necessarily just kind of blurting something out and, you know, causing this major pause in the conversation. But a pattern interrupt could be curiosity or intuition. Or, as you stated before, in inviting a person in to disagree creates a pattern interrupt. So very, very cool. Great conversation. Anything else on pattern interrupt, Lori or Steve?
Well, I just want to share a story. When I was working as a hostess in Dallas at a restaurant, I was wearing a Pirates costume and a 3-foot ostrich feather. It was a restaurant. You got to picture me, you know. 6-foot heels. I was like a giant. And this man came into the restaurant, and my co-hostess was Hispanic, and he came in and he said something derogatory about Hispanics, and I just casually turned my elbow. I had my drink up on the counter, and I just turned my elbow and just sprayed him all over with it because I didn't even want to hear it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I did lose my job over it, but it shifted the energy for sure, and he was asked to leave the restaurant. So sometimes, you know, the wind fires, we do pattern interrupts all the time, not always wise ones.
All right. Well, that's a good segue, Lori, into saturation knowledge. When you wrote this segment, this next chapter in the power section of Jesus in Blue Jeans, I just love that word. I tweeted today about the word saturation. I mean, just saying the word is like a powerful, it's like a powerful feeling or something. And I tweeted that lately I've been experiencing saturation as I take photos of the sunset every evening. It's kind of a new thing I'm doing this year as one of my personal goals. But that word saturation, so I'm allowing the sunset to kind of saturate me, and it's this feeling of wow. But also saturation is deeper, and we want you to take us there this evening, you and Steve, as we talk about saturation knowledge.
Well, the example that I use in the book, which is on page 230 in Jesus in Blue Jeans, is a story I read about, I might have even seen it on National Geographic, but a man wanted to photograph alligators, but not from the shore. He wanted to do it underwater and beside them. And so he befriended the alligators, if you were, moving very slowly. And I think he had, like, branches on his head or something. And then he had a special kind of camera, and so he moved so slowly, and then he had a big stick with him. So whenever the gators would come closer to him, he would just kind of nudge them away. And so he got to where he was eye level with them. And then he actually went underwater right beside them. And so this is someone who had a saturation knowledge of alligators compared to someone standing on the shore and shooting their backs.
Yeah.
Jesus is an example of God with saturation knowledge for us. I mean, he became one with us. He was born into the manger. He grew up among us, so that he could speak from within the culture, from using stories of shepherds and widows' mites and wine and all these images, rather than throwing thunderbolts around to impress people. So the whole notion of Jesus and saturation knowledge is really the essence of Omega leadership, is servant leadership, to be among them as one serving rather than lording it over them. So, Steve, what are your thoughts on saturation knowledge?
Well, when you think about the concept of saturation knowledge for us, a key principle that, and character quality that, of course, mirrors the quality of Christ there that you just mentioned when he came and dwelt among us was humility, that he humbled himself, taking upon himself the form of a man. And for me to, I think one of the keys for us in this journey of saturation knowledge, it does start with humility. And what I mean by that is really embracing the truth that I have a whole lot to learn. You know, really embracing that, saying, you know what? I have plenty of room for saturation here. And ask myself the question, am I a learner? And that's in the context of humility that we grapple with that question. And to the degree we understand and embrace how much we do have yet to learn, then it will impact how great of a learner we are, which then, you know, influences this whole thing of this journey towards saturation knowledge. You know, a simple thing that as we were just thinking about tonight was that all of us can grow in, at least maybe just me, really is listening as a part of our, a tool that takes us down the road on this journey of saturation knowledge. It's such a critical component. And not listening for what I want or need to hear, but listening with my perspectives, beliefs, and accept, you know, just at least temporarily suspending my judgment and say, I'm just going to listen. I don't have to decide anything right now. I don't have to determine if I agree or disagree. I'm just going to listen. And listening beyond the words, listening to what's not being said, just that's the, now I think of saturation, really soaking it in, becoming immersed into, and that listening is such a critical component of that. So those two things, you know, I believe are related. Humility and listening are related to one another. But those are really issues of the heart that will influence us as leaders in our pursuit of saturation knowledge, or allowing saturation knowledge to have its benefit in us and also in those that we lead. Of course, there are other things. Maybe one other thing I'll throw in here real quick is it's the relationship that we have, the context. You know, the guy you mentioned who's photographing the alligators, he changed his relationship with those alligators, and he moved it into a new, different, and potentially uncomfortable context. I mean, like he was way uncomfortable as far as I was concerned. And so this, it does require us often, it moves us outside of our comfort zone into what you often refer to, Laurie Beth and Shelley, to what we call the learning zone. And that can be, when you go outside the, quote, comfort zone, then, of course, it's uncomfortable because it's outside that comfort. And so we have to be willing to move that relationship or that context maybe into that less comfortable setting in order to gain this saturation knowledge. You know, one of the things that television show you may have seen, I've seen a couple of episodes of it, the Undercover Boss, where the CEO, you know, goes undercover and becomes one of the workers. And that's saturation knowledge right there for sure.
Boy, that's so true. And in the book, I tell the story of some salmon processing. They shipped live salmon, and the salmon were getting very damaged and were not in good shape when they got there. And they looked at all the systems, you know, the engineers looked at all the systems, and they said, well, there's no reason for these salmon to end up in such poor shape by the time they got there. And they brought in a consultant, and the consultant said, well, I'm going to think like the salmon, and just had them all pretend like they were the fish and actually, you know, imagine themselves being handled and put into the boxes or whatever it was. And it gave them a whole new perspective of thinking inside the problem out rather than looking at the problem from the outside. They immersed themselves in the problem and said, now I'm going to look out and see what I see. So it's, and I just love that you're on this call tonight, Steve, with your water giftedness, and saturation is water. It's, you know, you can loosen a pillar with saturation knowledge, you know, something that has been an obstacle, something that has been an immovable force can go down just with saturation, you know, immersion, kindness, all of those things. That's a pattern interrupt too for water against fire. When someone slaps you, your fire is engaged. But Jesus said, turn the other cheek. You know, it was the water that changed that situation with a different kind of saturation knowledge.
Today I was, interesting thoughts, both of you. Well, I'm still kind of lingering in that space for a minute. I was on a call today with a 76-year-old man from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And he was retired, and he has definitely lived his life well. And I believe has lived his mission of helping people find their purpose, find their calling. And so he shows up at our front door and of our company, and we welcome him, let him in, talk to him, and here he is, 76 years old, and he's like, you know, I've got so much to learn. He said, I think the path can help me. And I'm, you know, listening to this guy who has, you know, built probably half of Fort Worth in commercial business, you know, desiring to learn something new to help someone else and to get more clear about something that he's probably been doing his whole life. But that was a very powerful moment today for me as I sat with him on the phone and talked about this process called The Path as a 76-year-old, and I just said to him, you know, wow, I hope when I'm 76 that I'm there and that I have that passion of learning, of continuing to learn and understand the power behind both humility and also the passion of being able to improve what we do well. So, Lord Beth, we've got just about 4 minutes here, it looks like. What would you like to take?
Well, we had a wonderful mayor in San Diego years ago, and they called her Mayor Mo. She was tiny but feisty and mighty and really came to leadership in our city in a very critical time. And she rode on the garbage trucks to learn the challenge of the garbage worker. She became homeless for 3 days to experience what it was like to be homeless in San Diego. And she had everybody who was designing, all the engineers who were designing the wheelchair ramps and the downtown sidewalks, they had to get into the wheelchairs. They had to be wheelchair bound for 4 days during the design phase so that they could see that. You know, I was just in a facility the other day, a medical facility, and this woman came up in a wheelchair and she could not open the door. This was a medical facility that deals with people in wheelchairs, and they just expect her to be able to wheel it up and then slam it into reverse fast enough to swing the door wide enough for her to get through.
Right.
So good leaders require their followers to become one with the problem that they're dealing with, to become not... in, Jesus said, in yet not of the world, to think about what is the, and that's the essence of compassion, I think, Steve, that you model so beautifully. What does it feel like to be under attack from others? So, Steve, one last word from you, and then maybe, Shelley, you can close it out.
Any thoughts, Steve?
Yeah, just one quick thought is, of course, Christ is our greatest example. He's absolutely the authority in this area, without a doubt. And so I'm so grateful for his example that he's given to us, that we can just continue to study over and over and over.
Exactly. And thank you, Lori, for sharing these thoughts with us each week out of your writings. And I know you've written these books from the perspective of Jesus as the Omega leader, right, as the model for leadership. And we've got just about 90 seconds, but again, a great session and discussion tonight on the Omega Leader using pattern interrupt and saturation knowledge as you lead. Just a quick review of our thoughts tonight on the show. Here are some things that were said. Rut is a groove that has gone on way too long. Ruts are just graves with the ends knocked out. That was great. Opposite elements are generally the force needed to create a pattern interrupt. Thank you, Lori Beth, for sharing that. Invite people who disagree with you to introduce a pattern interrupt on your team. Thank you, Steve. Are we too comfortable in our grooves? Good question. A culture of niceness is like a ship settling slowly in the sea. Thank you, Lori Beth. Jesus had saturation knowledge. He understood servant leadership. I have a whole lot to learn. I am a learner. Thank you, Steve. Listening, becoming immersed into. Omega leaders, become one with the problem. Thank you, everyone, for being on the show tonight. We look forward next week as we continue the discussions around the power section of Jesus in Blue Jeans, and we'll be back next week with Lori Beth and another guest to talk about this. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Lori Beth.
Thank you, Steve. Blessings.
Blessings to you. Thanks.
All right. You can go to sleep now.
Good night, Steve.
Good night.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.